Okay, so imagine this. It's late December 2025. You're scrolling your newsfeed, trying to avoid the usual holiday stuff, and then a headline just stops you cold.
It was about Spotify.
Right, Spotify. And normally that's, you know, a price hike or some big podcast deal, but this was different. It said their top engineers, the people who build everything, had basically stopped writing code.
It wasn't just a headline. It was almost a confession, or I suppose a boast, depending on how you look at it.
It felt like a massive signal flare. And now, here we are, it's February 16th, 2026, and the dust has settled a bit, but honestly, the implications are just getting stranger. We're not talking about some low-code tool for, like, the marketing department. We're talking about high-level, complex systems engineering where the actual act of typing syntax has just, well, evaporated.
It's the difference between being a bricklayer and an architect.
Yeah.
For 40 years, software development was bricklaying. You had to place every single semicolon, close every bracket, and if you missed one brick, the whole wall could come down. What Spotify showed us and what we're seeing with tools like Anthropic's Claude Code is that the bricklaying phase is just over. We're in the orchestration phase now.
Orchestration. That's a nice, clean word for it. But I want to know if it actually works. I mean, we've heard AI will write the code for years now.
Right. It was always 5 years away.
Exactly. But this deep dive is different. We are looking at specific reports on Spotify's internal system, which has the incredible name of Honk.
Which I love, by the way.
It's just great. So we're going to break down what Honk actually does, because it is not just a chatbot. We'll look at the wider industry shift, you know, Pinterest, Anthropic. And then I really want to get into the mechanics of this. If you're an engineer and you're not typing code, what are you doing all day?
And were you happy doing it?
Mm-hmm.
That's a real question.
But totally. Because there's some pretty dark stuff in the source material about AI fatigue and these hallucinations that we really have to unpack.
Yeah. It's not all just sunshine and productivity games. There's a real psychological cost when you go from being the creator to being the supervisor.
So let's start with the workflow. The reports paint this picture that, I gotta say, it stresses me out, this morning commute scenario.
It stresses you. See, I think for a lot of developers, this is literally the dream. The scenario comes from Spotify's co-CEO, Gustavo Söderström.
Okay.
He describes an engineer. They're on the train, on the bus, whatever. They don't have a laptop. They just pull out their phone, open up Slack, and send a message.
And I'm guessing the message isn't running 10 minutes late.
No, no. The message is a command. It's a directive. Something like, Claude, fix the bug in the iOS playback module, or implement the new notification logic we talked about yesterday. That's it. Phone goes back in the pocket.
Whoa. Okay, pause right there. Because anyone who's ever worked in software knows that fixing a bug isn't. It's not magic. You've got to pull the code. You have to reproduce the bug. You write a fix. You run all the tests. And you pray you didn't just break something else. You're telling me that all happens while they're just staring out a bus window?
That is exactly what happens. By the time that engineer walks into the office, the AI hasn't just written a little code snippet. It has already engaged with Honk.
The goose system.
The goose system. This is the proprietary nervous system. And it's so crucial to understand this part. Honk is not just a wrapper for a text generator.
Okay.
It is an infrastructure orchestrator. It takes the code that Claude generates and it effectively spins up the entire environment. It runs the build, it executes the full test suite, it handles the whole CI/CD pipeline.
So Honk is basically a junior DevOps engineer in a box.
In many ways, yeah. I mean, think about the single biggest point of friction in all of coding.
It works on my machine.
It works on my machine. You write something, it runs perfectly, you push it, and boom, it crashes. Because the server environment is like a tiny bit different. Honk completely eliminates my machine. The AI is developing inside the production environment. So if the tests pass in Honk, they pass in reality, period.
That does change the game. It removes that whole setup tax of just getting started on a problem.
And Söderström was really clear about the results. In 2025, Spotify shipped over 50 major new features.
50?
Yeah, we're talking big things. AI prompted playlists, page match for audiobooks, really complex back-end stuff. And he explicitly said that velocity would have been impossible if his engineers were still manually typing out every single function.
It's efficiency, I get it. But I have to play devil's advocate. If I'm that engineer and I just texted a machine to build a feature, do I actually know how it works? If Honk handles the environment and Claude handles the syntax, aren't I just like drifting further and further away from the software itself?
And that is the absolute core tension here. Mm. You are trading intimacy for velocity. In the old world, you knew every line because you bled for every line.
Right.
In this new world, you're a manager. You're directing resources. You might not know the exact variable names, but you have to understand the logic at a deeper level than ever before.
Because if you give bad instructions, you just get garbage at light speed.
Precisely. And, you know, Spotify's not alone here. The source material brings up Pinterest as a major comparison.
Yeah, those numbers were also pretty wild.
Pinterest is now reporting that 50% of their new code is AI generated. Half. And then you've got Dario Amodei, the CEO of Anthropic.
Guys who make Claude.
Right. He's looking at these trends and he's predicting that very, very soon, 90% of all global software code will be written by models, not people.
90%. I mean, that is a number that makes you sit up straight. If 90% of the code is AI, then the profession of software engineer as we know it is, well, it's dead, isn't it?
Or changed.
We should just call them product managers who know what an API is.
It's a real identity crisis for the entire industry. There's this fascinating little anecdote in the sources about a guy named Boris Cherny. He's a senior manager at Anthropic Heller, literally building these tools.
Mm-hmm.
He admitted he hasn't written a line of code in months. He calls himself an overseer.
An overseer.
Right.
That sounds a little dystopian, doesn't it? Like he's just watching the robots toil away in the code mines.
It does, but it's probably accurate.
Mm-hmm.
His value isn't his typing speed anymore. It's not his memory of the standard library. Mm-hmm. His value is his taste, his judgment. Can he look at a system and just know if it's robust?
Okay, so let's dig into that judgment part. The reports spend a lot of time on prompt engineering, and I feel like that's become a buzzword that just means knowing how to Google better.
Right.
But this suggests it's actually a hard engineering discipline now.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
If we accept that the engineer is now an architect, the prompt is the blueprint. You can't just walk up to a construction crew and say, build me a nice house.
You'll get a shack. Or maybe a bizarre mansion, but probably not what you wanted.
Exactly. The source material breaks it down into these pillars. It's almost like learning a new kind of syntax. It's not Python or Rust. It's English. But it's highly, highly structured English.
So what's the difference between a casual user and an engineer in this world?
Well, the first thing is context and constraints. This is where most people fail.
Hmm.
A casual user will say, write a function to save a user.
Hmm.
An engineer knows that save a user is completely meaningless without context.
Right. Save them where? To a text file. To which database?
Exactly. And what's the schema? The report uses a really good specific example of building a Django REST API. I think it's worth walking through because it just perfectly illustrates this idea of code as law.
Okay, let's do it. Give me the bad prompt first.
The bad prompt is, make me an API for users using Django.
Okay, simple enough. Why is that so dangerous?
Because the AI will just make stuff up. It will hallucinate the constraints. It might give you a user model with no email verification or use a version of Django that's 3 years old and has huge security holes.
Oh, wow.
It will probably skip error handling. It gives you something that looks like code, but it's incredibly fragile.
So it's a house of cards. How does the overseer write that prompt then?
Well, listen to the density here. The master prompt would sound something like this. I'm developing a Django REST API. I need an endpoint that accepts a post request to save a new user. The model must have name, email, and password fields. The email must be unique. The password must be at least 8 characters long. If the email already exists, you must return a 400 error. On success, return a JWT token. I am using Django version 4.2 and the Django REST framework.
That's a legal contract.
It is a contract. You are defining the inputs, the outputs, the specific error states, the framework versions, even the authentication method.
So the new skill isn't knowing how to write the Eiffel statement for the password check. It's remembering that you need a password check in the first place and that you need a very specific error code when it fails.
Bingo. You are shifting the cognitive load from how do I type this to what does the system actually need to do? It forces you to think through all the edge cases before a single line of code exists.
Which ironically might actually make people better engineers. I feel like a lot of bugs happen because people just start typing before they really start thinking.
That's the optimistic take on it. And there's some truth there. If you have to articulate your requirements that clearly, you're going to catch your own logic errors much earlier.
But, and this is a big but, the report isn't just a victory lap for Spotify. It really gets into the weeds of what this feels like day to day. And it introduces two terms that kind of terrified me. AI hallucinations in code and AI fatigue.
Let's tackle hallucinations first. Because when it comes to code, They are so insidious. I mean, when ChatGPT hallucinates a historical fact, you might catch it because, you know, Napoleon didn't have a fighter jet.
Right.
But code hallucinations are much, much more subtle.
The source mentioned something about the AI inventing methods.
Exactly. So imagine you're using a specific library. The AI generates a function that calls library.optimizeSpeed. The code looks perfect. The variable names match. The logic flows. But OptimizeSpeed does not exist. The AI just thought it should exist. It sounded probable.
So you have an incredibly confident liar writing your core infrastructure.
And that leads directly to the second problem, AI fatigue, or what some of the researchers are starting to call the verification bottleneck.
This is the part that really hit me. The idea that reading and reviewing code is actually harder than writing it from scratch.
Well, think about it. When you write code, you're building a mental model piece by piece. You know why the variable X is there, because you're the one who put it there.
Mm-hmm.
When you review AI-generated code, you're just dropped into a fully completed city, and someone asks you, so, is this building safe?
And you're expected to check every single bolt.
Without ever having seen the blueprints, the cognitive load of verifying hundreds of lines of code that you have zero history with it's massive. It is exhausting. And the report suggests that as the volume of code explodes, remember, 50 new features in a year, the human ability to spot those subtle hallucinations just drops off a cliff.
It's like highway hypnosis. You're watching the road, but you're not really seeing it anymore.
Exactly. And that is the danger zone. When you have a fatigued engineer and a confident AI, you end up deploying bugs that are incredibly difficult to untangle later on.
So this whole system, this honk system, and this high-velocity workflow, it completely relies on the humans staying hypervigilant, but the system itself is designed to make them go faster and faster. That feels like a recipe for a crash.
It is a paradox. We're removing the manual labor to increase speed, but the level of supervision required to maintain safety might actually mean we need to slow down. But companies aren't going to slow down. They see the 50 features. They see the stock price.
This makes me wonder about junior engineers. We talked about senior managers becoming architects. But if I'm 22, I'm fresh out of college, and I never spend 3 years crying over syntax errors at 2 a.m, do I ever actually develop the intuition to spot the hallucination?
That is the fear. The senior engineers at Spotify are good at this because they spent a decade doing it the hard way. They know where all the bodies are buried. If the next generation never even holds a shovel, how will they know where to dig?
We could be creating a generation of architects who have never touched a brick.
And when the wall starts to lean, they might not know why.
So where does this leave us? We've got Spotify proving that at scale, it works. We have Anthropic saying this is the future for everyone. We have a workflow that treats code like a commodity.
I think the biggest takeaway is that the very definition of technical skill has just rotated 90 degrees. It's no longer about memorization or syntax. It's about clarity of thought. It's about architectural vision. And it's about the ability to audit a machine.
It's not about writing. It's about editing.
It's high-stakes editing, the highest stakes, really.
You know, I was thinking about this fatigue problem. We're saying that humans are getting too tired to properly review the mountain of code the AI is producing.
Right, it's a bottleneck.
And the logical solution, the one that every tech company always, always arrives at, is more automation.
I see where you're going with this.
If we're too tired to review the code, we're just going to ask another AI to review the code.
That is the inevitable next step, isn't it? We'll have reviewer agents that check the work of the coder agents.
And at that point, the loop is completely closed. The AI writes it. The AI reviews it. The AI uses Honk to deploy it.
And the human. What's the human doing?
The human is just the person who takes the blame when the lights go out.
Or maybe we're just the ones enjoying the playlist.
That is a very comforting thought. Or a terrifying one. I honestly can't decide.
Maybe it's a bit of both.
Something to chew on while you send your next prompt. Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive.
Stay curious.